You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights at the Raw, to the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox, aka the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestling talk. And if you ever met him, you know he knows it's wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection. Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. They on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as 3 Count for you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad. They rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Plex Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Perfect Plex Talk Radio post-Raw edition. I am Hugo, I am your host tonight, and as usual, I am joined by one half of the primetime players. Is that correct, Scott? Is that how you call yourself and Mike? The primetime players, right?
Franchise players, brother. We are the franchise
franchise players. There you go. So one half of the franchise players, Mr. Spot Face. What's going on, man?
You already know the throne himself. Yours truly, we in the building. Post Raw. I mean, post payback, post Raw. Still got a WrestleMania hangover. Still waiting for brand extension. Still waiting for, you know, we got a lot to talk about. Let's just get straight into it, bro. Get them to run down to Monday Night Raw and we'll dive into it. Let the people know.
All right. So Monday Night Raw, ladies and gentlemen, kicked off with Stephanie McMahon coming out. She was holding a bag of some sort. You know, it was kind of like a peace offering to Shane McMahon. Obviously, as soon as she said, she got on the mic, she said, welcome everyone to Monday night. And then she was about, as soon as she was going to say Raw, Shane McMahon's music hits. The whole arena goes crazy. Shane McMahon comes out. Stephanie then hands him the, you know, pretty much saying that everyone knows everyone loves Shane McMahon. Anyway, this segment went roughly about 10 minutes, gave him the what was inside the bag. It was the same picture spot that Vince McMahon crushed with his shoe prior to WrestleMania. And Stephanie says, well, I know how much that hurts you, so I just wanted to give to you as a token of appreciation and how much I appreciate or I take into consideration that you and I are working together. She says she's learned a lot, and she embraces the fact that they've been working together. And then they kind of went like a little scuffle type of thing where you know, pretty much saying, oh, whose idea they want to hear. Obviously, everyone went with Shane McMahon. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Owens then came out. And I know earlier tonight, Spot, we talked about, the whole Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fight, yes, last night on Payback. And you know what, man? He came out, Kevin Owens came out and said, that Owens says he has no hope in Shane McMahon doing the right thing after seeing how he's done things lately. But he praises Stephanie McMahon as a smart businesswoman, and he says that he's in line for the Intercontinental title, that he's never gotten his title shot. That brings Cesaro Spot, and they both book a number one contenders match for the Intercontinental Championship, where it pretty much ended. It ended up like in a no contest. Pretty much, Sami Zayn, The Miz, they all come out. It turns into a big fiddle forward, which obviously leads me to believe that this match at Extreme Rules is going to be a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title spot.
I mean, we talked about it earlier on the show, and that's how they conceive it. I honestly feel like Kevin Owens should have never lost the Intercontinental title, and him and Zayn could have just been feuding after Mania over it. And and Cesaro and Miz can been in another program where the title should be the focal point in this feud. You know what I mean? Like, the title belongs in this feud. WWE is always hot shot at a title to add it to a feud, a la Jericho, Shawn Michaels for the World Heavyweight when they took it off of Punk. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
keep the IC with the champ and let Zayn dethrone Owens, and it makes sense. Miz and Cesaro are just figments of imagination or counterparts, if you will, in a bigger picture. And that's a problem. They honestly played the Chris Benoit role, if you think about Mania 20, when, yeah, he won the title, but the storyline was still Triple H versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I agree. I feel you 100%. We also got KME on the line. KME, what's going on? We're talking the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, Shane and Stephanie, and then after that, the whole fiasco with the number one contenders match for the Intercontinental title that Spot was saying, you know, that the title should be the main thing, and Miz and Cesaro are just there. And it seems like we don't know what's going on with this, man. Obviously, they're going with the whole Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens deal. But the title is just secondary, along with Cesaro and The Miz.
Yeah, probably. I'm so confused when it comes to that title in particular. I knew they were just like they're passing it around right now because I don't think they know what they want to do with it. So I'm just kind of going with the flow and, you know, let them do what they do. I don't disagree with Spot though.
All right, 917. I'm sorry, I didn't catch you and I didn't screen you. Who's this? 917? All right, 917 ain't talking. So anyway, Spot, pretty much let's go ahead and continue on with the rest of the card so that way we could, you know, give our in-depth thoughts after that. After this match, you know, Kevin Owens and The Miz started arguing with each other. Then it just becomes a whole thing. Sami Zayn raises the title. Then Stephanie McMahon walks up to Dean Ambrose backstage. She asks what he's looking at. He says that she's not buying into her new smile. She pretty much feels like she's fake, and she's still the same Stephanie McMahon deep down. And then she offers him to be the guest on the Ambrose Asylum, and he said he's in. She says she's looking forward to it and can't wait to meet Mitch, which is obviously the plant that Dean Ambrose had in his talk show. She walks off, and Ambrose mocks her. And then we went to commercial. And then this is one thing that got to me, man. The whole thing with R-Truth. I remember 2 years ago, Spot, or 3 years ago, when it was John Cena versus R-Truth, we were all big on R-Truth, even though we know he was going to lose to John Cena. And now he's doing stupid crap, what we saw earlier. You know, it was a backstage segment with R-Truth and Tyler Breeze. Truth is trying to get their tag team together, but it was easier with Goldust. And then Goldust appears, has words with Breeze, pretty much looking like R-Truth seemed like a fool. And that's one thing that I appreciate, especially someone like R-Truth's status, you know. He's worked his ass off, you know what I'm saying, in TNA. He worked really hard to get into a main event scene, and also with 4 years ago, and now they're just using him as comedy. You know, some of these talents that they actually have wasted on such stupidity, and also to fill 3 hours of Raw, and what pisses me off so much about Monday Night Raw, Spot, really quick on that, because it really annoyed the hell out of me. I told this to KME on private message earlier when it comes to that too, man.
I'm at a point like this. R-Truth has collected a check, and I ain't going to get mad at him for getting the check. You know what I mean? I was not going to get mad at Superman, a former NWA world champion, who should be a lot more over in WWE and have accomplished a whole lot more for actual in-ring ability. But this is what they give him. He doesn't gripe. He doesn't complain. And I mean, hey, it keeps his body healthy because he rarely gets a match these days. And again, a brother's putting food on the table for his family. I can't knock it. I do think it's ludicrous. But the Gorgeous Truth is a very good tag team name. I can't argue that. I'm all about names. Power and Glory, greatest tag team name ever. But the Gorgeous Truth is not bad. And who knows what can come from this? Maybe they do get a 2 week run as a tag champ somewhere after New Day drops them to whoever at this point. But you never know. You know, it's comedic relief. WWE's big on that. You know, as much as a new era, we still got a lot of PG stuff going around. And I'm just glad there's no more little. How about that?
Right. Well, Tyler Breeze goes on and ends up beating Goldust. It was really, really stupid. But then after that, AJ Styles is backstage. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. They say that AJ Styles was the phenomenal one last night, obviously referring back to this payback match against Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes in pretty much saying, you know, that he has a lot of respect for AJ, but he doesn't have respect for Anderson and Gallows. Then Roman pretty much challenges to a fight against the Usos along with Roman Reigns against three of them. They all accept and pretty much they're on for the main event. That brings us to the tag team champions, the New Day. I really like this. I really like this segment, though, Spot. The reason why I like this segment is because, you know what I'm saying, even though Enzo, you know, Enzo is the mouthpiece of Enzo and Cass, I feel like they did well with Big Cass coming to the stage, and I think he held his own. Obviously, with the whole interchange between the tag teams, the Dudley Boys saying they're the most decorated tag team, they should restart the tag team tournament match. And then Cass came out and pretty much said, we've already beaten you, so there's no reason why to do that. And then at the end, they had a really good 4-on-4 match. And I thought Big Cass did well for himself without Enzo being the mouthpiece spot.
Big Cass is a star of the future. He will be a decent big man going forward. But Enzo is the dynamite in that group. You know, it's the opposite of what Road Dogg and Billy Gunn was. You know, Billy Gunn was the wrestler. Road Dogg was the mouthpiece. In this case, Enzo, he's more watchable in the ring and on the mic, and Big Cass is just Big Cass. I do, you know, Colin Cassidy was good in NXT, so I'm not worried about him going. I just think that Big Cass is fit to be a tag team guy. I don't see him being a U.S. Honestly, he looks like Test. I can see him going the same career route, all his title reigns and importance in the company as Test, and that's not a bad thing. R.I.P. Andrew Martin, big Test fan. But I just don't see the it factor for a big cast as a solo player in the industry right now. And he comes from Johnny Rods, my school, so I'm always show love. I just don't see it right now. Maybe in a different gimmick, maybe as an enforcer for somebody else. I mean, hell, it took Nash how long as Oz and other gimmicks in WCW before he found his come up with his diesel. So who knows? I give Cass some time to improve, but it's too early to call that right now. I can't see him being, you know what I mean, a marquee name in 2 years by itself.
KME, obviously Big Cass and the New Day won this bout, obviously keeping the New Day hot, you know, the hottest thing right now going into the WWE, also keeping Big Cass relevant. We know that they're going to face the Vaude Villains at Extreme Rules. It's pretty much just a match really to have there. Now that I'm seeing it, it was pretty much anticlimactic, because even though that was the whole plan all along, KME, we start with absolutely no buildup because the Dudley Boys didn't get involved like they were supposed to yesterday and cost them the final match in the tag team tournament and Enzo and Cass. So it's kind of anticlimactic. So I'm guessing it's not a good spot for the no pun intended spot, but it's not a good spot for the Vaude Villains, man.
They may or may not be a thing. I mean, they won that tag team tournament, I guess, because of what happened. So they're probably going to get the titles. I'm not sure. It's just really hard to say right now. I don't know if I would have put the belts on Enzo and Cass right now anyway. Not immediately, because the New Day is still more popular than them, you know, and I don't want, you know, the face versus face thing and New Day get way more cheers than Enzo and Cass.
Spot, are they bigger than, obviously the New Day are the biggest thing, but we'll go ahead, Spot, go ahead and rebuttal, man.
This is a weird situation as to why I wanted the Vaudevillains to win the tournament, and Kaz and Enzo face the Dudleys and really put that feud to start to finish, because New Day, Kaz and Enzo, is too soon to happen in the middle for SummerSlam. I think that's a WrestleMania match, honestly. I honestly feel like that's the best thing to do. So what do you do? Do you keep the tags on New Day this long? Or do you put them, you know, with Gallows and Anderson or however you see fit going down the line? But you don't do this now. Like, if we're all smart here. We could see the writing on the wall, and we're passing Extreme Rules. We're passing Battleground. Money in the Bank will be a pit stop of importance, but it's all about SummerSlam.
Right.
And to do that in Brooklyn, it's going to split the crowd 50-50. Because everybody's going to do the New Day, and everybody's going to do the Enzo and Kaz. So what do you do?
Exactly. And all good things must come to an end. And what I'm thinking, Spot, is that they're trying to keep Enzo and Kaz mixed in, but not completely. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll have them team up with the New Day, but keep them apart as opponents until they finally get to that big SummerSlam match, because that's where it seems that's going to be headed. You hit it on the head. It's in Brooklyn. The crowd will pop, you know, they'll pop huge for Enzo and Kaz, as well as the New Day. And I think that's when you could actually shift the titles over. But because realistically, there's no other tag team, though, KME and Spot, that could take it away from the New Day unless you're Anderson and Gallows or Enzo and Kaz. Because I don't think the Vaudevillains, even though I think they're fantastic wrestlers, and I know they did well in NXT, I don't know that this crowd, since they've debuted it, they haven't been big on Vaudevillains, though.
You know what? I wasn't big on Deuce and Domino either. But you know,
go ahead.
But you know what? It made sense, because it's not about the team. It's not about the team who beats New Day. It's about the team that wins the titles after the team. You know what I mean? It's not about the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
It's about the team that beats the Vaudevillains.
I agree with that. That was what was going to be my point, was that I think them winning the belts and just having a good, strong run, and then a face team, probably, you know, Enzo and Cassidy thrown in them, helps those titles out. I think sometimes you can use the titles to get over teams. And I think in this case, if the Vaudevillains have a strong run, maybe when Enzo comes back from his concussion, you know, they can, uh-huh. you know, they could beat him and be something special. And then New Day can spring off and do something different for a little while.
Go ahead, sorry.
Now, I mean, I don't mind. Honestly, I've always said this jokingly on the program. New Day could be the WWE champion, honestly.
Yeah. Three
of them.
That's what I was going to say.
All three of those brothers together is everything that Vince likes about his athletes. You know, big, strong, that's Big E. You know, a family man, work ethic, that's Kofi. And smart, and a PhD in Xavier Woods. So New Day can go, you know, New Day can be the WWE champion at Hell in a Cell to TLC to the Royal Rumble. So the New Day can go on. They can't be the tag team forever. It just can't.
Yeah, makes sense. At the end of the day, all good things must come to an end in terms of that. Yeah, they've had a lengthy title reign. You know what I'm saying? And you're right, they can venture out to different things. And regardless, they're still going to be entertaining, and the fans are still going to be behind them. But here's my question before to the both of you. Obviously, the tag team titles, what really holds, you know, holds them really together in essence. But don't be stupid also to, let's say, God forbid, because we know how the WWE works, guys. Don't be stupid to do something that they would split them up. And I think they'll be retarded to split them up, though. And I have that fear that it could happen if they lose those tag titles, Akemi.
It could, you know. I mean, everything is, like, this is such a crucial time for that company right now, you know, because everything that they're doing right now is very contingent on just the way things are booked. Right now they're in a situation where I think fans, especially fans that, you know, come and go from the pop product, like, you know, maybe me and you, we're giving them the benefit of the doubt right now. But the important thing is with these guys is they put them in situations where we as consumers don't have to stretch to suspend our disbelief, you know, and, you know, just make things palatable to, you know, fans that are turned off of the product. So
my problem is with everything that's going on, when the guys that have this cachet, when the star power returns, what happens to these guys? And I mean everybody. I mean, New Day is where New Day is because there's no Cena, because there's no Orton, because
New Day broke. I think New Day is one of the few teams there that organically came up. I think whether Cena and Orton were there or not, I think they would still be in the same spot. I can't say the same for other teams, but
New Day will stay where they are, but what happens to their dance partners? Because this is why they have nobody to fight now, because the Usos and that thing have run its course how many times. The Dudleys got the titles off of them when they came back. They didn't do that. So it's like, what do you do? The Vault Villains are the perfect team to put these titles on, let them carry them into Mania, Fastlane, Roadblock, insert PPV next year, and then you put them on Taz and Enzo. Or who knows? Because American Alpha is white hot down there, and if Angle does come, that's who he wants to come up with. So what do you do with that?
All right. Well, it seems to find out, guys. Really quick, let's go ahead and continue on because I actually put the show for 45 minutes. We've already been on the air for half an hour. So then after that, we had Becky Lynch versus Emma. Obviously, Emma won with absolutely no crowd reaction, by the way. I just want to put that out there. She had absolutely no crowd reaction, not even a boo, a cheer, nothing. Feel bad for that girl. Let's move on. The Empress of Sodom was up next. Stephanie McMahon says she's glad to be there. You know, pretty much they start going behind it. You know, they pretty much start going back and forth where they showed Ambrose showing a picture of Stephanie getting speared by Roman Reigns. She said she got a little overzealous and she didn't belong, and that Reigns really did teach her a lesson, pretty much changed her mind on a lot of things. Then Ambrose brings up Shane McMahon returning. The fans obviously went crazy again. He says that he pretty much said that it must bother Stephanie missing birthday parties, recitals, and Ambrose asks if Shane has made the same sacrifices that Stephanie has. He says Vince McMahon is putting both of them in charge just to burn Stephanie up inside. She continues playing it off. Obviously, Vince taught her a valuable lesson at Payback, and that some things need to change, says Stephanie. And pretty much she says now it's time to apply the same lesson to Ambrose. She says that he's been doing the asylum for weeks now, and pretty much she was canceling it. Out comes Chris Jericho. They brawl. He pretty much breaks Mitch the plant over his head, and this feud must continue, apparently. And we talked about the spot earlier today on Soul and Sports, man.
They're trying to make this thing matter because Ambrose will not be important to Money in the Bank. That's it. And I'm sorry, but Ambrose does not need to be on TV to Money in the Bank. I need to miss Dean Ambrose. I'm being honest. Same way I feel about Dolph Ziggler, I feel about Dean Ambrose. I need to miss him.
Okay,
you know, the catchphrases are the same. The moves are the same. Here is the same. I need to miss him. Like, he didn't beat Brock. So there's no more, you know what I mean? Come on, give me a break.
I don't know. Yeah, I got nothing.
I know you're tired of Chris Jericho, too.
No,
dude,
I'm not even tired. Hey. I just seriously got nothing. Without with this, you know.
And then after that, as KB likes to call it, it was a jobber number one contenders battle royal to determine the United States champion, number one contender, Apollo Crews, Victor, Damien Sandow, Zack Ryder, a bunch of other jobbers. At the end of the day, everyone thought Zack Ryder was going to go in and pull in, possibly, and then Rusev won after there was a big thing going on between the ex-League of Nations, and Rusev is the new number one contender, which seems me to believe, Spot, Rusev's going to keep it warm for John Cena when he comes back Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Big old John's going to get that belt back unless they finally do what they should have done from the beginning and let Rusev Moshka that guy. I mean, what says putting a guy over, then Big John returns and he loses? You know what I mean? Like, WWE's missing monsters.
Yeah.
Sif was the last one. And they should have never... Rusev should be in a bigger position. Rusev should be facing Roman Reigns right now for the WWE title, honestly, because of the monster that he's supposed to be. But you know what they do. John wields that shovel better than Triple H ever did. And who knows? I'm excited to see where it can go. But that ex-League of Nation thing, Del Rio, he can go back to Lucha Underground. That's pointless. I mean, I'm out of that.
Yeah, Del Rio is just completely worthless in WWE. And the reason why he's worthless is because he came back to do crap that was actually worse than he was doing when he was first, before he left and accused them of racism and stuff. It's like, you came back to do crap that was dumber, lamer, and more racist than the shit you were doing before. I really don't understand it. I guess the money is good, so at the end of the day, I can't hate.
Then after that, we had a vignette of the Puerto, you know, the obviously greetings from Puerto Rico, Primo and Epico coming back as Puerto Ricans. Obviously, seems like they're Los Boricuas Part Two. Continuing on after that, we had the women's champion Charlotte come out with Ric Flair, pretty much asking if she was pretty much downplaying the controversy surrounding the Chicago quote unquote screw job. They knocked Natalya on Bret Hart, saying that the Harts are quitters. Then Charles fucking Robinson comes out, Little Nate, being called Little Nate by Ric Flair, showing video packages, KB, of him coming out in his little tidy white, in his little tidy shorts at WCW Slamboree. I remember you even saying that on our chat. This is fucking ridiculous. This is stupid. But anyway, he got confused at his whole thing, and it ended up with Stephanie McMahon coming out and making a match between Natalya, Charlotte, submission match at Extreme Rules with Ric Flair Band. Go ahead, Spy. You're going to say something about this because it seems, I don't know if you like this, though, but I thought it was stupid, though, man.
It's a W. I feel like Vince Russo is booking this one. This is pure Vince Russo right here. Bring up the WCW days, why don't you? For the new era, let's bring up some WCW stuff. that makes sense. Real job creative. I swear it's a bunch of monkeys working back there. But whatever. A submission match.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's Extreme Rules and it's a submission match. Like,
yeah.
That's what we came up with for the new era of the women's division. Still feel like they're treating them like divas to me. But that's it.
Yeah.
The
little Nate stuff, I mean, at least they remember it. I guess it's for us old school fans, it's okay, I guess. But I mean, who gives a fuck about this? It's so dumb, dude. They gotta come up with better shit than this, man. And like Spot said, they still seem like divas to me. This is dumb. This is absolutely effing dumb. Ric Flair is the star of the Divas division. They have Ric Flair getting emasculated and getting... First, he gets his ass beat by Natalya. 16 world champion getting his ass beat by a Natalya. And then after he gets his ass beat, Stephanie McMahon is rubbing it in. Like, this is not how you promote the women's movement. Get this shit off my screen. Fuck you, WWE. This is lame. And that's all I got to say about it.
But then we finally head to the main event, Roman Reigns, the Usos versus AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson. It was an all right match for what it was. At the end of the day, finally, AJ Styles got the win with a phenomenal form. But really what really happened was at the end, Anderson, Gallows, they bring in Roman Reigns into the ring after he's beaten down, and Styles looks confused. They have a steel chair straight to his head. Gallows had him. Steel chair by Anderson. He was holding a steel chair, pretty much encouraging AJ Styles to go ahead and hit him. They stomp, they hold Reigns, and Styles backs up with the chair, but then throws it away. And then Gallows and Anderson just start getting up on Reigns, and the Usos come from behind. They nail AJ with a chair shot to the back. There's a big brawl. The fight's off, and then finally, Reigns launches Styles into the rope, but he doesn't go over. He just bounces, kind of like bounces off the mat. Then Reigns sends Styles to the floor. He pretty much starts going crazy. Pretty much starts beating the living hell out of him at the announce table. Reigns picks up Styles, sends him flying through the announce table with a big power bomb. And then Reigns finally kneels down over Styles as the fans boo. And then Reigns stands tall with the WWE title. And we go with the replays, and pretty much Raw goes off the air. I didn't mind the end. I thought the ending was good. Hopefully Roman Reigns finally does go and embrace the heel turn spot, and it's time for him to embrace that damn heel turn.
I'm waiting for Kane to come out and say embrace the hate. I mean, embrace the hate. You will see this gym, this right here is embrace the hate. I mean, I just feel like, again, timing. This would have been a perfect Survivor Series match if you'd have brought up, like Bullet Club, Balor, Reigns' family, and Dean Ambrose and the Usos. To me, I'm a wrestling fan. I didn't want to see a six-man tag this early. I wanted it to make sense, like the week before Extreme Rules, not the night after. We got 3 weeks.
I am actually really, really loving this feud right now. I do think the end result is going to be Reigns turning on the Usos. But I like the confusion. I think there's intrigue and drama in this thing, man. I can't be the only one. I think that they've actually, for once, they've actually got me invested, and I actually care what's going to happen in the main event picture between these six guys. And I think with the guys that they have feuding, all of them are fresh face. All of these dudes are your future. Even AJ Styles at 37, 38 years old, this dude is still a future. He's going to be in that scene for the next 5 years or so. The Usos and Reigns and Anderson and Gallows are going to be there for the next 10 years. This is what should be in the main event. I'm very, very happy with this scene right now. Hopefully they don't do anything to mess it up. And with that said, I know they probably will.
Spot?
I hear KME. He said Gallows. He said 10 years for Anderson and Gallows. I'm giving them 4. You know what I mean? I'm giving them 4. I just think whatever they got going on everybody's in the right position. I give you that. I mean, poor Usos. Like, they're just like innocent bystanders in this whole thing. And hell, what if the Usos turned on Roman? Shock me. You're right. They give us, we all invested because we know a turn has to come. Where does it come from? So in that regard, I'm with it. But let's get to it already. We've been wanting Roman Reigns to go heel at least almost a year. At least. Because he's never been the guy that we want in the spot, even though he kind of deserves it because we are talking about the future. So we can't call it the new era and it'd still be John Cena. But at the same time, he can be the new, he can be the face of the new era, but he has to be a heel in doing it. Because when Rollins comes back, we know he's a face. I'm sorry. I don't see Seth Rollins getting booed if he returns. And I feel the same way for AJ. Like, AJ's in a Daniel Bryan position. Like, I think if AJ didn't sign and Bryan was healthy, Daniel Bryan would be the one in this spot. So it's...
Is there any...
Go ahead.
Really quick, I was going to ask you guys, is there any way, though, that they're going to prolong this feud? Because, and if they do prolong this feud, is there any chance that AJ Styles does eventually walk out with the title? Or is Reigns the guy all the way till the, to whatever, SummerSlam or Survivor Series?
And this is why I said earlier on Fox Sports that they're painted in a corner here. Because AJ can be the champion now, but he won't be the champion when it matters, which is going into SummerSlam. So do you take it off of Reigns, which it doesn't matter because he's already got 3 WWE title reigns in like 6 months. So do you take it off him? Probably not, because this reign for Reigns has to mean something. So then how do you usher AJ out? And who do you plug in? You know, like, who do you plug in for Battleground and Money in the Bank? Who's the opponent?
Yeah.
So,
Tammy, anything
else?
But I think that this is one of those things that I think can work itself out, you know. I do think that since they started this, they have to stay part of course. And it just has to have a logical conclusion. And I'll be one to let them get there. If when they finally get to the conclusion, if it's lame, I'll be like with you guys and be like, yo, this is lame, you know. But right now I can enjoy the ride until it gets to the climax. You know, I'm cool with what's going on. I don't need to overthink anything right now. I understand why you would, you know what I'm saying? I really do. If you're a fan out there, because WWE hasn't given us a reason not to think their logic is twisted and stuff. But for myself, I haven't been invested in the product that much for the last couple of years. So it's not that hard for me to be like, okay, well, let me see where they go with this at least, you know?
This could either...
Go ahead, Spice. So I was going to say, I know you had something else to say, man.
It could end up being, you know, as far as conclusions go, this could be like Bully Ray being the face of Aces and Eights, or Vince McMahon being the higher power in the corporate ministry, or it could actually turn out to be as great as Triple H the night after WrestleMania 14 creating the new DX with X-Pac and Outlaws. This can either be good, bad, or historic. And once it ends, it's just gotta matter. Pro wrestling is always about tomorrow. And if it doesn't matter, then why did you waste my time? You know what I mean?
Why did everyone waste anyone's time, in my opinion?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, 5-4-0. Oh, sorry, I just got you off of mute. You have roughly about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
How are you all doing tonight?
What's going on?
Not much. The thing I want to get about is the whole situation with Natty and Charlotte. I mean, yeah. I mean, does this ring a bell to you? Come like 1997 when Brett got screwed by Shawn Michaels? And we all know Charles Robinson and Ric Flair have been close and tight. But, I mean, for Charlotte to use that sharpshooter on Natty and Flair telling the ref to ring the bell, I mean, I knew they were hiding something suspicious. But you know what? I don't mind to be cut off for a minute, but I'm going to say something like one minute to say about this. Nanny should have known. Nanny and Brett knew Charlotte and Ric Flair were going to pull something dastardly. And I knew Charlotte was gonna somehow, with help from her daddy, retain the Divas title. And in doing so, Charlotte and Ric Flair wanted to devise a plan to screw Natalya and Bret Hart over. And they did accomplish that. So that begs the question, if Natalya and Charlotte, which they will get on Extreme Rules, I'm going to be assured that Nanny's going to turn the tables on Charlotte somehow. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right, thank you. I want to say thank you for the call.
It's raining.
I want to say this is we're for the smart wrestling fan, so we know this stuff is worked and scripted. So your questions need to be asked from the point of view of knowing that this show is written and that what we're seeing is manufactured, okay?
No, we're not going to do that. Let's not do that because it's real to him, damn it.
We have to have some type of integrity to this program.
You are an intelligent wrestling fan. You are one of the smartest bros in this. I'm telling you, it's real to him, damn it. He used the word dastardly. He gets the W tonight, okay? It's so long that, damn it, dastardly is the word of the day. Okay. Dastardly booking. Again, I will hone in. AJ, something has to be done here with this WWE title picture because, you know, the Wyatts are too far away when Bray gets back. You know, Orton, we know he ain't coming back to next year, if that. Cena, I want him far away from this thing as possible. Triple H, he's not even talking about wrestling again. And the Beast is not going to lose the WWE title match. That's just not going to happen. And yet, nobody else is up there yet, and I don't want Owen sniffing it till next year, winning the Royal Rumble for KO Mania. That's it. I don't. So what has to be done? Because we are walking into a Diesel-esque title reign for Roman. I'm sorry. But as much as Diesel was supposed to be the guy, he just really couldn't be the guy.
Right.
And that's honestly what we're faced here with Roman, is a great wrestler for what he can do. He's great for what he can do, but he's not the guy.
Well, I mean, he got time to be the guy. The thing with Reigns is the experiment with him, like, this has only been a year with Reigns. So with some dudes, they've gone like 3 or 4 years before, you know, they finally given up the guy. I really do think that if this summer is not his, then they should end the experiment. But I don't think it's been, because he hasn't had a consistent title reign, you know, like since he's been the champ since WrestleMania, pretty much, you know. And then the first time he won it, when he won it in Philly, he was the guy that should have won it in Philly. You know, he was over.
What, Survivor Series?
No, not at Survivor Series. Was that Survivor Series when he won it in Philly? The day after. It was a Raw.
Yeah, it was a Raw.
And he was the most over guy, dude. He got cheered by the Philly crowd. So, I mean, for that reason, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, for that time period, he was the right dude.
I mean, he was the right dude at 30 when, if it wasn't going to be Daniel Bryan, it's just been that had been Batista.
Roman yeah.
Was, like, you know, like anyone but Blue Batista. But
yeah,
they didn't do that. So I just feel like I understand this supposed to be his time, but with this title reign being what it is and the talent being where it is, you know, that's the difference. Diesel didn't have many people to wrestle. You know, he had Mabel,
yeah.
had Britt, and he had Sean and Taker.
And Sid.
Yeah.
Sid.
A plethora of guys back there that can go, that deserve to be in the light, and deserve to be in that main event spot. You know what I mean? And I just feel like what happened?
Yeah.
Once it's over, you don't downgrade AJ Styles. So what happens to AJ? Maybe he wins King of the Ring. Hey, King AJ Styles, I'm cool with that. But, like, what does that do, you know, with the club and Finn Balor? And the one problem that WWE has to realize is there are stars already in NXT that fans want to see on main roster.
Yeah.
Like, their stars are, like, I'm waiting for Joe to come. I'm waiting for American Alpha to come. Bobby Roode just got there. I'm waiting for that. So it's like, you got to push these guys out. What was once the WWE's D-League has literally become their second brand. Because, you know, no one cares about SmackDown. So what happens? I say you ship a bunch of guys down like they did Zack Ryder and keep it going.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get out here. Guys, we're going to get and get out of here because we're actually on extra time. But really quick, I'm going to let you guys get your points across, and then we're going to grade Raw and get out of here. So finish off what you guys are going to say. Kami, I thought you were going to say something really quick.
Yeah, just with the callers, man, you don't do that. I mean, we watch the show in a certain way. Do not call with that kayfabe shit. Now, that's not an insult, but – this is we do cater to a certain type of audience. So, you know, read up on what kayfabe is, and then when you call in next time, come from that point of view.
Spot.
It's still real to him. Dakota, if you yesterday did from the.
You're right. My bad.
You know, we can't, you know, we got to uplift, man. It's pro wrestling is not as popular as it once was. I don't want to lose fans. We need more than, you know, I hope you got some Booty-O shirts too, Dastardly Dan from Dakota. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna go ahead and ask you, what are your grade, buddy? Raw. By the way, you can do letter grades because the belt I leave it for Mike. So, what you give Raw tonight, man?
I give Raw a B minus.
All right, Tammy.
Yeah, I might do a little bit better than Spot. I give it a B. I thought there was nothing on there that made me throw up. I the segments that I was interested in, I give it a B.
Just because of the R-Truth thing, and I hate how much. And then again, I don't need to look at like a paycheck spot. I feel you on that. It makes me want to give it a bad grade. But besides that, I thought some of the matches were good, though, guys. Realistically, even the six-man tag, both the six-man and the eight-man tag, I thought they were good. The whole Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose didn't like that. I thought that was pretty stupid, but they got to keep it going, like Spot said, and the whole Charlotte Natalya thing. Even though to Dastardly Dan, you know, he felt that it was that it was the worst thing that could have ever happened. Eventually, obviously Natalya's getting a rematch, and we could have done with all that screw job or whatever. But I'm gonna go ahead and give Raw also a B minus, like Spot was giving it. Any final thoughts, guys, before we get out of here, Spot?
Hey, I just want all the wrestling fans to stay true to what they believe in. Take people talk, just wrestling. There's no wrong answers here. Dastardly Dan from Dakota, I'm with you.
I think KB said himself. Be intelligent, KB.
Yeah, man, I mean, much love to you, Dastardly Dan, but Jesus Christ, man. I got nothing.
Yo, Spot, if Raw is good again next week, we'll do another one of these. If it sucks, we'll leave it for whatever it's good. Go ahead, Spot.
Exactly. If Raw is good, we'll be back. Raw's whack, no need to call the number. Period.
All right, then. So Raw is good again. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Dastardly Dan.